You're on.
Go.
Hallelujah.
Can somebody start this, please?
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat, Shabbat,
Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat, Shabbat,
Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hey. Shabbat Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Yom Zel Yisrael.
Yom Zel Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael,
Lord of Besimcha.
Yom Zeh Yisrael,
Lord of Besimcha.
Oh,
Rav Besimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Lord of Besimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Menucha.
Hey!
Hallelujah!
This day for Israel.
This day for Israel.
This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of Israel.
This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. The Sabbath of Israel.
The Sabbath of Israel.
Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the sins of my people he was slain.
HaMashiach Yeshua,
Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore.
It was the will of his Father to crush him
and take his life in place of our own.
But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne.
HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua,
the Lamb of God we adore.
HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore.
Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth.
He was the will from the
land of the living. For the sins of my people he was slain. It was the will of his Father to crush him and take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne. HaMashiach Yeshua,
Messiah Jesus is Lord.
HaMashiach Yeshua,
the Lamb of God we adore.
HaMashiach Yeshua,
Messiah Jesus is Lord.
HaMashiach Yeshua,
the Lamb of God we adore. Yeah, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to For Zion's Sake Ministries, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation,
We welcome you, friends online and on Facebook. Shabbat Shalom, friends in the house. Let's hear a big Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay, you can give me a better one than that. Come on. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Woo! Hear that shofar. Hallelujah. All right.
Now our eyes, oh,
Lord, we give this service into your hands right now. We just put this service in your hands. Have your way today in our house, in your house. Our house is a very, very, very fine house with the Holy Spirit.
We will sing and dance for joy, for you have chosen Zion as a place for you to dwell. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name, and all will bow before the glory of God. Let's go to the mountain of the Lord, come on.
Now arise, O Lord, to your resting place, with all your power and might. As we stand here clothed in your righteousness, we will sing and dance for joy. For you have chosen Zion as a place for you to dwell. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name, and all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory of God.
Hallelujah!
You swore an oath unto Abraham, your covenant will stand. On your throne in Jerusalem, you provided a lamb. For you have chosen Zion to make your glory known.
We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory of God.
Oh, do Adonai Keto. Oh, do Adonai Keto. Oh, do Adonai Keto. Oh, do Adonai Keto. Odul Adonai Kito, Odul Adonai Kito. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name, and all will bow before the glory. All will bow before the glory, and all will bow before the glory of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise Yeshua.
Yeah. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
All right, it's great to have worshipers in the house. Amen. It's hard for me to do Maria, my job
Maria
if
checks,
you don't do
checks
yours.
Checks in the mail.
All right, let's bless the Messiah. We've already blessed him a little bit, so let's bless him. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derecha Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in our great Messiah, Yeshua.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Where you dwell and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'asot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'asot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
B'nei,
B'nei, B'nei Yisrael,
B'nei Yisrael,
Oti le'olam. Vishamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et ha-shabbat, La'asot et ha-shabbat, Le'dorotam barit olam.
Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, Asa Adonai,
Shemayim ve'aretz. Vishamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et ha-shabbat, La'asot et ha-shabbat, Le'dorotam barit olam.
Yom ha-shabbat, Shabbat v'nefash, Shabbat v'nefash,
Shabbat v'nefash. Vishamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et ha-shabbat, La'asot et ha-shabbat, Le'dorotam barit olam. Hallelujah.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God,
to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem, these words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Let's bow our heads and our hearts and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And for the peace of our own country as well. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you, Lord. We pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us you will prosper those who love Israel. And we love Jerusalem. We love Israel and Eretz, the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you remove the scales from the eyes of your people Israel, Lord, that in these difficult times, Lord, that they would seek their Messiah. When they get, right now there's Russians on the northern border, I'm told, yeah. Soviets, former Soviets, Russians, soldiers right up on the Syrian border. And somebody who lives up in Galilee told me that war is in the air, and they're actually moving south from Galilee. And I mean, I can't say, I don't predict when war is going to come, but they told me they're moving from Galilee because they can sense war in the air. And so, we just pray, Lord, we thank you that you use those things to bring people closer to you, Lord. If there's any good that comes from war, if there's any good that comes from suffering, it draws people to you, to cry out to you, and to look for you and to call on your name. Lord, we just pray that you would remove the scales from their eyes, that they would see their Messiah, Lord. And we pray, Lord, from for the leaders, from Mr. Netanyahu and Mr. Gantz and all the leaders in the Knesset. We pray for the generals and the IDF and the admirals and everybody, you know, and the members of Knesset. For their salvation, Lord, we pray, Lord, for wisdom as they guide the country, Lord, that you give them wisdom to guide the country. And we pray, Lord, that you open the doors for Aliyah, Lord. We just speak to Israel and say, let your people go. Let your people come. Let your people come. Let your people come. You know, they say Israel is a democracy, but Israel doesn't let Messianic Jews, and they don't let Christians become citizens. Very rare. Some do, but it's very, very rare that they let people in. And we just pray, let your people come. Let those who love Israel come to Israel when they want to come. Let them come. Amen. Let them be citizens. Let them have rights. Hallelujah. Birthright. You know, we just thank you, Lord, that you give birthright back to Jews who have become believers in the Messiah and had their birthright stolen from them like Esau, because they're believers in Jesus and Yeshua, because they believe in the red, the blood. They believe in the blood and the Edom and the Esau and the Esav. They believe in the red, and that's why they've lost their birthright. They've taken the blood in exchange for their birthright. And give them back their birthright, Lord.
Amen.
Give
Amen.
Us back our birthright, we ask, Lord. Yes. And part the seas for Aliyah, we pray. In the name, and Lord, we just pray for our messianic leaders, that you would give them wisdom and to guide us prophetically, and boldness, Lord, to speak, Lord, prophetically, and to speak truth and prepare their people for these days and times, and not be cowards, not be fearful. Lord, we pray that our leaders would be bold and not be fear man. We pray that our high leaders, our executives, would have the spirit of Eliakim, of humility, the spirit of fatherhood, not remove the spirit of Shebna from them. And if there be any spirit of Shebna, of power and control and pride, take that away and give us fathers, give us people who will pray for us as rabbis. Pray, we just pray that you heal the rabbis, those who are sick, and that you would meet their needs, those who are struggling, that you would meet needs. I know rabbis who haven't been paid much, even some haven't been paid since last March or April, a year ago. Pray, Lord, that you would just help. You know what's going on with them. Lord, we pray for your people Israel among the nations. Start with my family. I pray for the salvation of my family, my brother and sisters, my nieces, my nephews, and my cousins and their children. And I pray, Lord, that I was talking to a cousin last week, and I said, do you have a Bible? And she says, no, I don't have a Bible. I go to the synagogue and blah, 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 blah. I go to the synagogue and go to this Torah study and da, da, da. I said, but do you have a Bible? And you know, at bar mitzvah, when you're bar mitzvah, you're given a Bible. Every Jew is given a Bible at their bar mitzvah. And in a conservative synagogue, you're given a Bible. I said, do you have a Bible? She says, no, I don't have a Bible. I said, call the Israel bookstore where you live. There's an Israel bookstore. They didn't have a Bible. In the Israel bookstore, Jewish bookstore, didn't have a Bible. Lord, I'm going to have to order one and send it to her. But God help us. Let our people read the Word, Lord. Yes. Help them to open the Word of God like I did 27 years ago. Open the Word of God and learn about their Messiah and their God and read the prophets. Lord, we just pray that you draw them to read the Word and that you send people like you did to me to share what the Word means, to talk, to teach, and to explain what the Word means. Send people. You save me like a root out of dry ground. Save them, Lord. We pray. Lord, we pray for our nation today. We pray that we pray for our liberties are protected. Lord, we pray that the dread, you know, they're afraid. They've got fences. They say don't build walls. They built walls around the Capitol. They said don't build walls, and they built walls. They say they've got thousands of soldiers, troops, guarding the Capitol for threats that don't exist, unless they think they're going to create a threat. Today they're voting on one of your amendments. It happens to be your right to bear arms today. They're voting on the Second Amendment today. We just pray, Lord, that they don't. We bind that. We just come against their messing with the Constitution of the United States, Lord. 2 weeks ago, they messed with the Fourth Amendment, the right to search your houses and take. If you jaywalk in front of your house, walk off your driveway, and a police officer sees you, and you walk out of your house and cross the street without crossing in a crosswalk, they can use that as an excuse to come in your house. I mean, that's how crazy things are getting. I'm telling you, in some place, you know, they won't do it here, but in some places in the country, a woman was watching a football game and they tased her and they pepper sprayed her because she didn't have a mask on. It's absolutely insane. She was watching her son play football. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you defend your people, their liberties. Defend us. Protect the Constitution of the United States. Protect our First Amendment rights to speak and to say, to speak, you know, whatever we want to say, as long as it's, you know, we're not shouting fire in a crowded room, auditorium. Let us speak our minds, you know, and as long as it's not hate speech or, you know, or discrimination, then let it be said. Let the words be spoken. Anybody wants to say, you know, people are afraid to speak these days. I bind that in the name of Yeshua, that fear. Hallelujah. But thank you, Lord, that you just deal with it. You put it in your hands, Lord. Your will be done. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua. Now bless our service today, and bless all our, heal all our friends who are sick today, those who are here. Raise your hand if you're sick. Hallelujah. If you have anything, you have aches and pains, and if you have hip problems. I know some people have hip, some people have knee problems. Just raise your hand, and we pray for God's healing. Hallelujah. And some people have loved ones who are sick, and we pray for spouses who are sick and not well. In the name of Yeshua, thank you, Lord, that you heal, that you touch, that your spirit goes around the room and touch and reaches across through the cameras and touches people. We just reach out to you watching on Facebook and on live stream. We just pray for your healing today, whatever is afflicting you, whatever aches and pains that you're feeling, whatever sickness that you're experiencing. We pray in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, for Vicky, our administrator, that you help her through it. Her father passed away. Help her through this difficult time. Strengthen her. Heal her relationship with her brother as she goes through the process of closing out her father's estate. We pray, and we just pray for all of our friends who have needs. My friend Jamie, who's out there ministering to her parents in out west, and I'll just leave it at that. And my friend Chris in Australia, who's struggling tremendously. And other people, many other prayer requests. Forgive me, I can't remember. There's so many. I can't remember them all, but we just lift you up in the name of Yeshua. God knows your need. We pray healing, his touch, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Avot Fathers, the Amidah says, blessed are you, O Lord our God, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the great, mighty, awesome God, the Most High, who bestows grace and creates all and remembers the kindnesses of the fathers and brings the Redeemer to their children's children for the name's sake with love. O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed are you, O Lord, Shield of Abraham. Now the servant of the Lord, according to Isaiah 49:6, says, and now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the world, of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Avinu
Malkeinu,
maker of all things,
maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hands,
of your hands.
You loved us so,
you loved us so,
you sent your son to take our sin. stand for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kiyor, Malchuto, Leolam Vahed. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol vavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele, asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta bahom, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, u'v'lechtecha v'aderech, u'v'shachpecha, u'v'kumecha, u'kishartam, liot al yadecha, v'hayu l'totafot b'in einecha, Uchatavtam, Almazazot Beitecha, Uvi Sharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask Dave, would you like to carry the Torah today? Wendell will show you how to do it. And let's see. William, would you like to open the ark for us? Can you get up the stairs okay? All right.
The extra ones. They're on the back pew. That's okay, that's fine.
Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, Lord, there is none else. You
is Ein Kamocha Be'elim Adonai Ve'Ein Kamasecha Malchutcha Malchut Ko Olamim U'Memshaltecha B'chol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imlok Le'olam Va'ed Adonai Oz Le'amo Yitain Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Ba'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion
is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shavatakim gam yachad Hine ma tovu manayim Shavatakim gam yachad
Vetachim Gam Yachad Hineh Matov Shevetachim Gam Yachad Hineh Matov Umanayim Shevetachim Gam Yachad Hineh Matov Umanayim Shevetachim Gam Yachad Hineh Matov For brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la la la, la 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la la la, la 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 la. La la la, la 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 la. La 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 la. Hallelujah. Hineh matov umanayim shevetachim gam yachad.
Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's tired.
Hineh matov umanayim shevetachim gam yachad. Hineh matov, hineh matov, la 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 la. Hineh matov, hineh matov, la 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 la. Behold how good and so pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and so pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To dwell in unity, la 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 la.
Glory!
Hallelujah! By he ben so harom by emoshe kuna donai mi futsu ivecha mi anusu mi sanecha mi panecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah udavar Adonai mi Yerushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Le'amo Yisrael b'kedushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, and it says what we just read is ancient, but Paul said much later that to the Jews were given the oracles of God in Romans 3. To the Jews were entrusted the oracles, the words of God, the writings of God. The Jews were entrusted. He says, what value is there in being a Jew? Much in every way, he says, because to the Jews were entrusted the words of God. You know, every scripture in the New Testament comes from the Old Testament. Every scripture that's quoted in the New Testament is from the Old Testament. So if you didn't have the Old Testament, your New Testament would be very thin. I wish I was that thin. Hallelujah. Take some of the old stuff out of me and make me thin, you know. But not the Old Testament. You can leave that in. Praise the Lord. All right, yeah. Let's continue. So
you may rest the Torah.
What's next, Miss Dawn?
Anthony.
Okay.
Ya'amod.
Ya'amod, Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruchu et Adonai Hamvora.
Baruch Adonai Hamvrak Nilam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Rachilam Va'ed. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam.
Asher Bakar Banu Mikol Hamin. Ben Atan Lanu Et Torto.
Baruch Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. And you can be seated. Take a chair. Okay, today we got a double portion this morning. Two parashas here. Vayakel and Piduki, or Kai, I guess we pronounced it, it means to be assembled. Moses is assembling the people at the command of the Lord, and it also means accounting. And it ends the book of Exodus, chapters 35 through 40. And so today, as I mentioned, a double portion. You know, in the Torah, nothing is coincidental. Everything has detail, and God's word is as precise as he intends it to be. God is precise in what he does. So today, Moses has assembled all of Israel together because they have, you know, we've been talking about the tabernacle the last couple of weeks. And so this sort of concludes it here in the last book of Exodus. And so he's bringing all the people together. And he teaches about the Shabbat. He tells them that it's the importance of the Shabbat, that it's a complete day of rest. You can read in Ezekiel chapter 20, it tells us that Shabbat begins on Friday at sundown and ends on Saturday at sundown. And God is telling us in Ezekiel to keep his Shabbat. He says, I have created it. It was created by God for people to observe the day of rest. It was a seventh day that this occurred on, and I think the seventh day tells us a lot about the seventh millennium when heaven will appear. And, you know, there's a lot about that and about the Shabbat. Keeping the Shabbat is very important. I guess maybe it's more important that it's imperative to keep the Shabbat. You know, it's things that God has given us that we need to observe and do. And how does the Shabbat is observed? It's the last thing on the work day that is done. The candles are lit, and then the blessing is said, and then we enter into the Shabbat. So the last thing, I guess, last part of the work would be the saying of the prayer or the blessing about the Shabbat, inviting God to come in. You know, with this, if you've been studying this about the tabernacle and all that, you know, God had went to great detail about the creation of the tabernacle. And later on, of course, the temple was built. But Israel had to accomplish that by the direction of Moses from God telling him what to do. It was done in most harsh conditions. And actually, on this day, it would have been a year since the Israelites left Egypt in the Exodus to the day that they arrived, the 1 year that the tabernacle was completed. So they did it within a year. And they all brought offerings that they came. Everyone came and brought an offering. And there came so many of them and so much offering that Moses had to tell them to stop. That would be a nice thing to see, that you have to stop people from bringing money and things in. Yeah. It's just interesting. It's the way God does things. Yeah. He had to stop them and say, you know, stop. So very interesting. But, you know, the thing that God was bringing them to was God's Spirit became such a part of Israel, as we see in verse 22. It says, the men and women gave with a willing heart. They wasn't compelled, but they did it out of a willing heart. That's what God is looking for, a willing heart. And they brought all kinds of things. They brought gold, silver, bronze, and they all had a part of the offering. And it was to draw, God was drawing them to him, to himself. You see, we were given, they were all given gifts to work in the tabernacle and to do the various things. So everyone was involved in it. Some had greater responsibilities, more craftsmen, but all were able to do something in the tabernacle and help it. And so it was completed in this Torah portion. And it was done according to what God had requested and required of Moses to do. You see, Moses did not change, add to, or take away from anything that God had instructed him to do about the tabernacle and how the things were put together, the tapestries, the gold work, the silver. He didn't add anything to it. He'd done exactly what the Heavenly Father had instructed him to do. And I think that's a good rule for us to follow today, that it's good to observe the things that God is asking us to follow and observe. And if we do that, then we will be following like Moses did, because he did not change anything. He didn't move anything from where it was asked to be placed. He didn't change any colors. You know, it's like I was thinking about somebody building a house, how they switch around colors and different things. But with Moses, he did not change anything that went into it. And when you look at the tabernacle, you can see very quickly that it's about Yeshua. It's also, I think, it tells a lot about us, because we see that, you know, when you went in through the outer court into the inner court, we'd see the table of the shewbread. And we see that Yeshua is the bread of life. And the word says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the word of God. And we see also from the table of shewbread was the menorah, the 66 pounds of gold that was there. And I hope you remember that the wicks were wrapped in swaddling. They were taken from the swaddling clothes, and they were used to make the wicks to ignite the oil, and also to get the fire that the light would burn. And we see that Yeshua, upon his birth, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was the priest's undergarments that they used. It wasn't thrown away. They didn't wash them. They just used them to make the wicks. And so we see, you know, at this period in history, babies would have been wrapped completely up in a garb or some type of wrap, that the only thing they could see was their face, because they were totally wrapped up like a little mummy-like thing. So that's why it says he was wrapped in swaddling. He was totally engulfed in his word, and also in the light of his word. So that's why it says he wore the swaddling clothes. And you would see I was reading in the Talmud. I know a lot of you probably don't read that or understand why it is, but I was reading about, you know, the thread, the rope that was put up on the temple wall, up on the door, and also upon the door of the temple. You know, after Yeshua died on the cross, that cord never did change color. And I was reading in the Talmud that was actually written in some of their writings, that for some indistinct reason, the cord never did change color after all those years of it changing color. It never did change color after that, but it's written in the Talmud that actually occurred. So that's another proof that they realized that something happened, and it was the death of Yeshua that passed, and it never did turn another color. And you see, God is telling us Yeshua was the perfect sacrifice. He was accepted by God once for all mankind. That's why the cord never did change color, because the color changing meant that God had accepted the sacrifice. And so he didn't have to accept the sacrifice anymore, because it was the one sacrifice that was done for by Yeshua. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, you see the veil was rent upon his death. And so we see today as they completed the artifacts and everything into the tabernacle, that the Ark of the Covenant was covered in a veil. The kavod of God was totally concealed, because man, you know, Aaron's two sons went into that holy place, and they were consumed by the glory of God. They actually burned from the inside out. It didn't burn their clothes, but it burnt them physically on the inside. And that is telling us again that God was perfect and glorified at that point. But we see the temple, the veil was rent in two when Yeshua died. So that means that was open for all believers to come and experience God, because it was taken away. That was covered. It was removed. And so you can see, just from looking at the tabernacle, how it portrays the shadow and the person of Yeshua, that he was there. You know, all the sacrifices that were made when you went into the first part of the tabernacle, and then also the laver that was for the cleansing and for the washing of the blood in your hands and feet. All of that is pertaining to the death and resurrection of Yeshua, and also to his atoning death for us, that we are cleansed through his blood. And also the priestly garments that were not just, they were very beautiful, but they wasn't created for the glory of, for the beauty of the priest. They were for God. And the main reason, I think, for the priest and for the garments were that there was to be no negativity at all and all of the garments and all of the priests, because the Kohanim were not to gather and have any type of negative thoughts. That's one of the reasons when they were anointed, the right toe, the ear, and the thumb were all anointed with blood, and that God was telling them to not have negative thoughts. You know, when they wore all the garments, each side had six stone had two stones on a stone on each side that had the 12 tribes of Israel, and it was to remind the priests that they were to never be negative about the family of God or the Israelites at that particular point, that they were not to be, they were not to judge or speak evil concerning them. It was actually to prevent them from saying anything evil because of the Tazarat that they could convince would be upon their body if they spoke evil thoughts. And if you look at the robe of blue that the priests wore, it was an unusual garment that was not, they didn't like place it on, but it came over their head as a full garment. And if you see the Torah scroll this morning in the blue, it's carried, it's placed over, the cover of the Torah is placed over the scroll. It doesn't come apart, and it's not two pieces like a shirt or a coat. So that another thing that was in, within the Torah as far as God and that part of the scriptures, the Torah scroll was covered, and it was never actually physically taken apart by the coat that it wore. And then we go to the Holy of Holies. That was the glory of God, and it didn't just rest upon the tabernacle or in the Holy of Holies, but God wanted it also to rest and reside upon every person that was a believer. That includes us that are here today. And just to close this morning, everything that was done by Adonai was commanded to Moses, and he did everything that God had reflected upon him to do. So everything that was requested by Adonai, Moses performed that without ever changing anything. And I think that tells us a lot about Moses' spirituality and his accountability, which was the second part of this Torah portion, that we also have an accountability of spirituality too within our life, within our walk. And just to close with a verse from Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, and Yeshua is saying, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul within me. Shabbat shalom.
Torah asher sam Moshe lifnei b'nei Israel of b'yadonai b'yamoshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel
at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Ve'tochecha me'ushar derachecha dorchenu ha'olam v'chol nativotecha shalom hashivenu Adonai elecha v'nashuva.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Don's going to give announcements. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Good job. Let's give it up for the guys, huh?
Yes.
They actually climbed the stairs to the temple. All two of them.
Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We're in Bristol, Virginia. Just close to Tennessee. We're half quarter of a mile from Tennessee, so we're right on the line. Bristol, Virginia. Virginia, Tennessee. And so we're glad that you've joined us today. Hope you're enjoying the worship and that you're receiving the oil of the Holy Spirit and the gladness of his joy. Amen. And it's also an opportunity for us to bless him. And that's what he asks us to do on this day, is to bless him, bring a blessing into his house. And he blesses us every day. Amen?
Amen.
So let's bless him. Let's give him his honor. He deserves a lot. More than we can ever give. Amen?
Amen.
So let us never fail to honor him, to bless him, to bring him a gift into his house. Not only of our personal, of what we have, but of who we are, is our gift to him. Our children, when they love us and love on us, is such a, it's a joy to us, amen? Amen. So it's the same thing. God wants us to love on him and to come and express ourselves. So that's what we do here at Our Yehuda. We hope that you'll come and join us in person if you're living within driving distance. We've got plenty of room to social distance if that's a concern. So you are more than welcome to come, and you will experience the anointing so much stronger when you come into the house and we do it personally together. Amen? So I think we're all here family, it's a good group. Just want to review what's been passed, and then we'll think about the next thing that's coming up. Amen?
Amen.
And so we had a great Purim. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. God was in the house for Purim. Ted Pierce was here for Purim. And before that, we had the second episode 2 of the Real Housewives of Shushan. So if you missed that Real Housewives episode, you can go to our Facebook page and you'll see the video of that. In the Ari, I think it's on both of them, but Our Yehuda, if you go to Our Yehuda Facebook page, you'll find that video. And I'm pretty sure it's posted on For Zion's Sake as well. And you can share it with your friends. It's cute. So we're already planning our next episode. Not sure what the housewives are going to be up to next, but be assured they're going to get into something. Oh, I don't know about that.
There is definitely, wherever the housewives of Shushan are, there is trouble. Trouble is brewing.
Amen. Trouble's a brewing. Amen. Yes, Asha. Oh, she is agreeing. I thought she was going to say add something. So, praise the Lord. So,
capital T.
our next feast coming up. The Lord always has some celebration around the corner, right, for us to focus on, to have fun, and to worship Him through prophetically, and to understand what the times that we're in prophetically. So, the next one coming up, you guys know it. Is Passover. Amen?
Amen, Sister Dawn.
Hallelujah. So the greatest of all feasts, Passover, is coming. And Rabbi's going to talk a little bit more about that. Was that a question, Wendell?
Well, you know, the president spoke the other night and said he hoped by the 4th of July that we could get together in small groups and have a cookout, no kisses, masks on.
In the backyard.
In the backyard, yeah. In small groups, by the 4th of July. So if we might want to do Passover in July, or we could do it in a few weeks and have, you want to have a Seder this year? And folks watching online, y'all want to have a Seder, Passover meal? I'll teach it. I'll show up and teach. I'll eat.
if we have a Seder, it'll probably be here in the Fellowship Hall because we don't have anything booked potluck style or family style somehow. We will figure it out. But so we'll need to have some meetings concerning Passover if we're going to do that.
Or we can get a tent like we did for the bar mitzvah outside.
Have some
fresh air blowing through.
Yeah. Amen. We can do that. Okay.
We'll figure something out. We'll have a meeting.
So maybe next week we should plan to have a meeting. Is that good with everybody? Yeah. And we'll have Oneg next week. I was told Oneg is not today. So is that correct? Yes. No Oneg today. We might go out to eat. I don't know. But if you want to eat together, just let us know. We'll maybe go somewhere and grab something together. Okay? Praise the Lord.
The happy Jews can go to the angry Greek.
Yes. Praise the Lord. I just want to give a little praise report for Rabbi. His numbers are continuing to stay strong. And he met with the... Amen. He met with the Cleveland Clinic doctor this week, and they continue to think that this medication he's on is the best right now, the best for his situation. So there are still side effects that we're fighting, but we continue to ask for your prayers for those side effects to be minimal, and that he works through all those problems. But the positive news is that the medicine is working, and that they feel like that it's a good thing for him. Am I correct, Rabbi? If you want to make an add-up.
Well, basically, the doctor said the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And there's two other medications with much worse side effects than swelling in my legs and feet. So he said that the swelling in my legs and feet won't kill me, and it will go away after I stop the medication as long as I can live with it. So the question is, how much medication can I take and live with the side effect, because the side effect is it can also be cause skin cancer too. So I have to get checked regularly for skin cancer. I've had two biopsies on my skin since September. I'm wearing the compression stockings and all that, and trying to watch my salt and keep my feet up and stuff. It's not fun. I'll tell you that, but. It beats losing your hair, turning gray, and lying in bed all day.
Throwing up all day,
right. So, it could be worse. So the question is, for me it was peace, the peace of knowing that it took me talking to the doctor at the Cleveland Clinic to find out why I had the edema. He says it's from the chemo. Nobody else would tell me that. Everyone said, one said it's your heart, one said it's my lungs. Somebody said it's, you have a pulmonary hypertension. Somebody said you have cardiac hypertension. The heart doctor said there's nothing wrong with your heart. The heart doctor said there's nothing wrong with your lungs. What's causing it? Is it my kidneys? No, your kidneys are functioning fine. Nobody could tell me why my legs are swelling, my feet and ankles and whatever, and calves. And that was stressing me. Yeah, that was that was bothering me, not knowing. But then when the doctor at the Cleveland Clinic talked to me, and he said, Mr. Bell, he said, it's the medicine. It's all that's what it is. So that made me feel a whole lot better. And he also said it will go away when I stop taking it. It'll take a couple months for it to go away, but it'll go away. So what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And I've been smacked around, Maria. I used to hang out in places like Kenny Rogers and Johnny Cash. Gatlinburg.
All right. And on that note, I just want to make
aquarium
one last thing. So let's move it along. I love you. one last thing I want to remind everyone. We do need to continue to wear the masks, and please, I know some people think that it's not necessary, but we're asking that you please wear your masks. Try to be diligent. Because, listen, we've got vulnerable people with us. And even if they say that these masks don't really work with COVID, it will help us to keep each other from getting sick from other things, right? And so even that is a good thing. So let's please keep our masks on, especially ladies, if we're dancing and we're close together. Is that right, Maria? And I mean, Maria's around people, you know, in her place. And, you know, we're all kind of doing our what we have to do. So let's, when we come here, let's please keep our masks on, especially if we're in close contact with each other. Just want to make that reiteration. And if that's a problem, then, you know, maybe just talk to me about it. But for the most part, let's really try to, you know, be aware of that and keep it going until all of this is settled down. Okay?
Amen.
Is everybody in agreement?
Yep.
Amen. Okay. And I think that's it. I'm going to pass it back
to
you.
By the way, just one point about that. We haven't had, for those in the congregation, those people watching, we haven't had one case of COVID ever in this congregation. We haven't had anybody who goes to this congregation has not had, there's never been a case of COVID in this congregation. But in the churches that I know of where they don't wear masks and they gather in groups of 100 or 200 or 300 people, I know one church was having 300 people recently. I was listening to a sermon last Sunday, and the COVID outbreak and the church emptied out. You know, and I know several churches like that they're, you know, friends of ours, I won't name them, but very close friends of our ministry were go to their church. They weren't wearing masks. They were around people, you know, in the pews, and they got COVID, and, you know, the church shut down, and it just shuts down to the worship team and the preacher, you know. But if you follow the rule, if you follow the guidelines, the basic guidelines, distance, wear a mask, and you know, wash your hands, don't pick your nose, and, you know, don't pick your friend's nose, everything's going to be fine, you know? Seriously. No, I'm partially joking, but you know, about the picking your nose. You know. Come on.
Amen. Amen, Rabbi.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, you know, we're all out. I'm out there flying around and with the public, you know, so I just, you know, we're all doing different things with the public. So when we come here, let's really try to be respectful of one another. Everybody's situation is different. And I have to do it. I don't like it. Believe me, I don't like wearing a mask. I you know, but if I don't wear a mask, you know, in the airport, they'll come and get me. You know what I'm saying? And so I have to wear it until the flight deck door closes, and then you know, I have to be available, put my oxygen mask on if I need it. But God's been
as Rabbi Kokeb would say, if you don't wear a mask, who will? If not now, when? If not you, who?
All right. On that note, we should have Kokeb come back.
We need him. We need Rabbi
I miss
Kokeb.
Him. Do y'all miss Kokeb?
Yeah.
All right. Hello, Kokeb, if you're listening or watching. All right. Let's move it on.
Isaac, the camera, please. Yeah, we're going to have some. We're going to take up our tithes and our offerings. So I'm going to pray, and please remember the extra. There's a basket there for the alms for the poor. The Bible commands us to give alms to the poor, and we always give. I always say give spare change, but if you want to take out a $20 bill and throw it in there, that's fine. You know, no law against it. You know. In doing that, you know, but you want to give some spare change if you have it. But remember, the Bible commands us to give alms to the poor, and not to forget the poor. So, along with our tithe. So let's pray, folks at home. If you'd like to give, you can go on our website forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org. Hopefully, we weren't one of the 60,000 corporations in the United States hacked. hacked by a foreign government this past week. I don't, to my knowledge, we weren't. But you can give securely with PayPal or a credit card online if you'd like to support this ministry. May God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to give back to you what belongs to you. Your word says the tithe is holy. It means it belongs to you. And we get to give it back to you, Lord. We get to give it back to you. And not only that, we get to sow seed, which is beyond the tithe, what we give beyond our tithe, and that is seed. And that's where you start to grow fruit and bless and increase when we plant seed. And you take one little seed and you plant a tomato plant, and it produces, 30 tomatoes, and then it gives you all these other seeds, thousands and thousands of seeds, and it reproduces. It's incredible how God blesses and multiplies the seed sower. Hallelujah. And his word says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. So may God bless you as you sow, in the name of Yeshua, our great King and Messiah. Amen.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. He is exalted, forever exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name.
He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
He is exalted, the King
is exalted on high.
Oh,
he is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Let's sing it together, let's stand. Let's honor him. Oh, he is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
We'll praise him.
He is exalted, forever exalted, and I
will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Oh, he is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Oh, he is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Ready to dance?
Oh, great and wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Great and wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify the
deeds, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy.
Joseph said, come near to me. Elijah said, come near, come closer. So come in, come closer to the Lord. Press in. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of God. Don't be afraid of his presence. Let's draw in to him.
to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion.
Zion.
Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
You have not come to a desert mountain, but you have come to the living God.
You have come to the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Come, let us go up to
Zion.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to
Zion.
Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have come. You have come to the Judge of the ages, to Yeshua, and through His blood. You have come to the place of the firstborn, to the righteous ones. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Come, let us go up to
Zion.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to
Zion.
Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to
Zion.
Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Come, let us go up to
Zion.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to
Zion.
Let us draw near to the Let us draw near to Him. Let us bring our voices into Him. Let's bring our hearts close to Him. Let us draw near to the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I'll let my words
of songs I want to bring to you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
Focus on him. Put everything else aside that's been happening this week.
Let's just give our whole heart to Him right now in this moment.
I want You more than gold or silver, only You can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver.
Your love change my heart, change me, change me now. I need Your love to change this heart. My sin, forgive my resistance, gently pull me in to Your world. For you. be a blessing to others, a vessel of you, a vessel for you to change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart. Make it ever true.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart.
Change my heart, oh God.
May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
May I be like you.
Be like
you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
May I be
like you.
Hallelujah. We're going to go to the Lord's table in a minute. And if you're watching online and you'd like to join us, if you have some fruit of the vine or some bread or matzah, crackers, whatever you have that you'd like to use, if you'd like to join us, please prepare yourself. Get yourself some grape juice or some manischewitz, whatever you use. And get some matzah or some crackers, and you can join us as we go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to my headset, please. You know, on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." And we Jews take this cup after every Passover meal, just as it says in Luke 22, the cup taken after the meal. We take the third cup of the Passover meal after the meal. right as Luke says, because one thing Jews are good at is doing the same thing over and 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 over again. But we're doing the things of God. You see, if we didn't take this cup after the meal for thousands of years, because they were doing it in the time of Jesus, of Yeshua, and we still do it today, you know, how awesome is that? And that's the way we can teach the things of God to people, because God gave us things to teach and they didn't change. So it wasn't just the cup that he gave us. He gave us a lot more than Passover. Unfortunately, you know how an actor gets typecast. I get typecast as the Passover guy. And there's so many things that I have that are like the third cup to teach on. And this piece of bread that we also take with the third cup called the Afikoman, which is this little piece of bread here. And it, Jews take it after the meal also. It's mentioned in Luke 22. He broke the bread and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And I grew up for 30 years before I knew what it was in the New Testament, taking it called the Afikoman, which is, we Jews refer to it as dessert. It means that which comes later. And it comes out, you know, there's a whole process where a piece of bread gets hidden by a child in a little white cloth, and it's brought back to the host, and he breaks it into little pieces, and he gives them out to everyone at the Passover. And that's why Yeshua broke it into little pieces. And it's all part of the Passover. You know, it's all part of the Passover, and still is today. Jewish people are still doing this stuff, and sadly, they call it dessert. They don't know that the cup represents the blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. They don't know that the bread represents his body given for us, broken for us, scourged for us, beaten for us, spit on for us, mocked and punched, nailed to a cross for us. They don't know that. They don't understand that's what it represents. That's what they're missing from Passover. They have Moses, but they don't have Yeshua. Jesus is Yeshua. They don't have Yeshua. They just have half of it. They have Moses. But we have it all. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
We have it all. You know?
Yeah.
What more could you... You know, all the things of this world, nothing is worth what we have. Nothing compares to the glory that we're going to share in Messiah Yeshua. He says, if the transgression of my people brought riches to the Gentiles, salvation, the Bible, forgiveness of sin, eternal life, the abundant life, all fellowship, a relationship with God himself. If you got that, the Bible says, how much more will our fullness bring? When we Jews come back to the Messiah like me and others, how much more riches will there be for the Gentiles, for the world?
Amen.
He says, greater riches. What could be greater than salvation? What could be greater than the Bible? What could be greater than forgiveness of sin? What could be greater than eternal life? What could be greater than a relationship with Almighty God, the Creator? What could be greater than these things? Than fellowship? Than having a new family in the kingdom? Amen?
Amen.
What greater riches could there be? The Bible says the eye hasn't seen and the mind hasn't conceived what God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
Do you know the Messiah today? Do you know Yeshua? If you don't, and you'd like to meet the Messiah, just bow your head with me and raise your hand. Wherever you are, in your car, in your house, your backyard, wherever you're watching, and just raise your hand and say, Rabbi Joe, I want to meet the Messiah today. I want to meet Yeshua. And pray this prayer with me, okay? The Bible says if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Yeshua is Lord, we will be saved. So the prayer is the confession part. So we're gonna pray. If you'd like to meet the Messiah, just pray with me. Dear God, I have broken your laws. Lord, I don't even know your laws. There's 613 positive and negative commandments in the Old Testament alone, and even more in the New Testament. I fail to keep all your laws and commandments. But your standard is perfection. So I've broken your laws, God. And I need your forgiveness. Forgive me, God. Send your Holy Spirit into my heart. Live in me. Dwell in me. Wash me with the water of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse me with the blood of the Lamb of God, the Messiah, Yeshua. And put my name in your book of life forever. And forgive my sins. In Yeshua's name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you met the Messiah today, it's not so much the words you said, it's what's in your heart. Please contact me. I have a gift for you. So please, please contact me, and I have a gift for you. So just you can contact me by, you can message me on Facebook, or you can on our website, you can email. The best way is to go to email on our website or call our ministry and leave a message that you want, that you met Yeshua. Just say, I met Yeshua, and I want Rabbi Joe's free gift that he said. That's the best thing you can do, okay? God bless you, and as we say in Yeshua, L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Okay. What? Okay. Let's pray for the word of the Lord. Last week I said I was going to teach on God's pattern of the end times. God's pattern for the end time. Okay, that's what I said I was going to teach on, and I actually got into more of an encouraging message of scriptures that were more encouraging from last week's message than what I would intended to get into. I got into verses, you know, things like, God works all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. That no matter what you're going through, how bad it looks, or whatever circumstance, trial you're going through, God's using it for good, and some good is going to come from it eventually if you're patient and you keep trusting God. That's, you know, we talked about last week, and we talked about, you know, how God is faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness. We talked about how God will, will complete the good work that he began in you. We talked about that last week, that God has begun a good work in each one of you, and he's faithful and just to complete that work that he began in you. Amen? But we really didn't talk about God's pattern, so I want to talk about that today. And so Lord, just bless this word. And thank you, Lord. We just ask that you bless the word today and anoint your servant. Empty me of Joe. Bring forth this word now and bind the enemy and open our ears. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see truth from your word, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm calling this Following God's Pattern for the End Times, part two. Following God's Pattern. Another word for it is following his pattern for the second Exodus, because the Bible speaks of a second Exodus, not just the Exodus with Moses. If you read Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14 through about 17, it says, God says, Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, no longer will the children of Israel say, The Lord lives who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought the children of Israel out of all the nations where I scattered them, from the north and from all the countries where they have been scattered. The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 16, starting in verse 14, I will bring them out from all the nations. And he says, Behold, I will send for hunters and they will hunt for them. And after I will send for fishermen, and they will fish for them. Fishermen are good. They're like evangelists or fishermen. Okay. Then he says, afterwards, I will send for hunters, and the hunters will hunt them from the clefts of the rock and from the caves and in the wilderness. They will hunt my people. Remember that verse, because we're going to get back to hunting in the wilderness. Okay. And we're living in that age, I believe. A couple of weeks ago, Rabbi Burt was here, Rabbi Burt Yellen, and he quoted, he said he feels it's unusual to get a senior rabbi, and he's very senior, Burt Yellen. He's as senior as they get. And in fact, he even had a few senior moments. But just kidding, Burt. Love you, buddy. I got to bust his chops, you know. Burt's my buddy. But anyway, seriously, you don't usually get a senior rabbi except Jonathan Kahn. And Jonathan Kahn wrote me a letter last week, by the way, and he wrote me an email, which I didn't read to you, but he basically just said that he wrote to me and he said he was praying for me and that he knew I was fighting cancer, and he wrote to me and just said he was praying and wished me well and that he was thinking of me, and that was really cool. That was nice. You know, I occasionally, I don't bother him, but I do have his email, and we do correspond now and again, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. And I'm always blessed. Rabbi Jonathan Bernus, you know, he called me a lot last year when I was going through really rough chemotherapy at the Mayo Clinic, and he was calling me and ministering to me, and he supported me. His ministry helped support us, and he was just so a big brother. You know, these guys are like big brothers, you know. Michael Wolf is another one who's been a big brother to me, and Rabbi Charlie Kluge, Joel Chernoff, you know, they've been calling. Jeff Adler has been calling, pray with me. Rabbi Marty Shilsky, Eric Carlson. These guys have really reached out to me, and even made an extra effort to call me and check on me, and I want to note that. But anyways, let's get back to the message. God bless those rabbis for their care and their love, and that they think of me. These world famous rabbis, you know. I don't know if you know this, Jonathan Kahn has written one, if not two, of the four or five best-selling books in all of Christianity. The Harbinger, if you haven't read The Harbinger, I recommend it. You should read The Harbinger. And then there's Harbinger 2. And what's the other one, the new one? The Shemitah. There's what? Harbinger 2, and there's another one. You can look up his books, Jonathan Kahn. Anyway, read The Harbinger and Harbinger 2. But anyway, Harbinger itself, the book, I heard the original message preached at the Messiah Conference. He had preached it in his own church, his own synagogue, and then he preached it at the Messiah Conference about 14 years ago. And it struck me and Don so much that we didn't usually listen to messages two or three times on our way home from a conference. We just kept listening to that message, The Harbinger. We were so fascinated by it. And if you haven't heard it or listened to it, get it on Kindle, or I may have a few copies down in the fellowship hall, I don't know. But if you like a copy, I can get you one just to read. Anyway, he's one of the top four selling authors in all of Christian history. History. Yes. History. The other one, I know one of the other two. I've actually met two of the four, besides the Bible. And the other one I met was Bruce Wilkinson. And Bruce Wilkinson wrote Secrets of the Vine and The Prayer of Jabez. And I was invited to dinner with him in Bristol. He came, was invited, a man brought him to Bristol, and we had a private dinner for 35 people. And he was the speaker at the dinner. It was in downtown Bristol in a big room, fancy room. And I was an invited guest. And he, you know, listen, I've been around, okay? And And this guy's given this sugary sweet testimony about, you know, life as one of the world's most famous authors. And top four authors in Christianity, okay? He's written, I don't know if he's number two, number one, number three, whatever. He's in the top four. Anyway, more than Max Lucado. I mean, all these guys, you know. So anyway, he's given this sugary, sugar-coated, you know, message. And I'm like thinking to myself, his life cannot be this sweet. You cannot write a book as powerful as The Secrets of the Vine and the Prayer of Jabez and experience no oppression, no attack from the enemy. You know, when you do something powerful for God, how many of you know, and this is why you got to be careful, before you commit, count the cost. Because when you do something for God in a big way, you know, and most people don't count the cost, and that's why the disciples dropped their fishing nets. Because if they had counted the cost, they would have stayed on the boats. You know, because it puts a big fat target on your back, and they all got crucified. Peter was upside down. Some of them got beheaded. And, you know, if they'd known that at the beginning, they would have stayed as fishermen and probably would not have done, you know, might not have done what they did. But, you know, when you're young and stupid and naive, scratch stupid, just young and naive, we sometimes fail to count the cost. Here's the cost. So anyway, I said to the guy, he said, any questions? So I said, yeah, I said, Dr. Wilkinson, I said, would you mind telling us some of the spiritual warfare you went through? I mean, there must have been some trials that you went through when you know, after writing the Prayer of Jabez, one of the four best-selling books in Christianity, you must have been attacked. And his face turned white. And you know what he said to me? He said, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, okay. And the hostess, get this, the hostess of the dinner, she said, no, I'd like to hear an answer. she spoke up. She said, I'd like to hear the answer. I'd like to know what you went through. And he was just like, you could see the blood went out of his face. And he had gone to Russia and had a heart attack or symptoms of a heart attack and ended up in a hospital. He was doing ministry in Russia, and he ended up in a Russian hospital. This was like 12 years ago, you know, 13, 14 years ago, getting treatment for heart, what appeared to be a heart attack. Would you like to be in a Russian hospital with a heart attack? yes, we're going to give you a little cyanide, and it won't hurt a bit. I tell you, you won't even recognize it. In 3 minutes, your heart will be fine. He started telling us things, and that's when the night got interesting. Praise God. And so God has taken me to some very high mountaintops, and he's also taken me into the valleys. But this is a story today, God's pattern for the end times. And so I want to begin by saying, quoting a scripture of 1 Chronicles 12:32 about the sons of Issachar. And of the sons of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. Of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times they were living in, to know what Israel ought to do. They were unusual people. They were so godly and so tight with God that they understood the times. This is 1 Chronicles 12:32, and they knew what to do. Now, Rabbi Bert Yellen was here and last week, and he read 2 Thessalonians 2, which talks about in the last days, terrible times will come, and God will send a spirit of great delusion upon the people, and they'll be deceived in the end of days. And he said, we're in those times. And this great spirit of delusion has come upon the United States and the world. The spirit of globalism and spirit of Babel. We're rebuilding the Tower of Babel. That's what we're doing as a world. Yeah. We're rebuilding Babel. We're tearing down the walls, before COVID anyway. We were tearing down the borders and making it one world, one language. The goal is one currency, one one government, one central government, one authority, and that's a guy named Donald Trump, a redheaded David, got in the way of the plan.
Yes, amen.
And they hated his, and you know what? Jim Dobson from Focus on the Family, great, famous guy, James Dobson, said he was with Donald Trump when he was praying a prayer of salvation, just like I prayed. He prayed a prayer to receive the Lord about four years ago. And he said he watched Donald Trump pray that prayer to receive the Lord. And Donald Trump had prayer meetings in his office, and he loved to have pastors come and pray over him, black ones, white pastors, black pastors, female pastors. In fact, what's her name, Paula White? Some people don't like Paula White, but I'll tell you something, whether you like her or not, whether you agree with her doctrine or not, the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And you don't have a church of, 5,000 people, and you don't have a global television program. I'll tell you, I used to have a TV show that reached 10 million. Okay, and you don't reach a global, unless you earn that position, God doesn't promote you to television shows that go around the world. Okay, unless you've paid your dues. Okay, I promise you that. I promise you these televangelists. Yes, can they go wrong? Did David sin with Bathsheba? Yeah, he did. Was David God's beloved? Yeah, he was. Did David kill Bathsheba's wife, his husband? Did David send him off into battle? The guy was sleeping at David's doorstep, at his feet. He was sleeping there to guard David. He wouldn't go to his wife. He wouldn't even, he came back from the battle, and he wouldn't even go to his wife because his buddies were out there fighting, and he didn't want to have pleasure. So he didn't go to his wife. He stayed at the foot, at the entrance to David's castle, his dwelling. Amen. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, David was fornicating, was committing adultery with his wife, and then David sent him back and told Joab, his general. He said, when he go out to battle, pull back and leave him out there by himself, and he was killed. David knew exactly what he was doing. He had him killed. Now, that man, that's product of that relationship was Solomon. The first child they had together, because of sin, died. He died. He was born, and then he died. And David repented with sackcloth and ashes, and he fasted for 24 hours, and he repented of what he did with Bathsheba and killing the man. But that baby died. The next child they had was Solomon. And Solomon became the line of the kings of Judah, of Israel. The line of Solomon is the line of the kings. So the psalmist says in Psalm 51, in sin my mother conceived me. In sin. It's talking about Solomon, really. In sin my mother conceived me. My mother sinned. My mother, Bathsheba, sinned. And in sin she conceived me, and out of sin I came forth to be king of Israel and Judah, and my descendant will sit on the throne. The Messiah will come from my line. Psalm 51. But that's not what we're here now. So we have learned about, I just want to say one other verse. I've been reading about Nelson Mandela. I'm watching a movie lately, and I encourage you to look up the sayings of Nelson. Nelson Mandela had 9 famous quotes on forgiveness, and I encourage you to look them up. Nelson Mandela's 9 famous quotes on forgiveness. One of them I wrote down here: forgiveness liberates the soul, it removes fear. That is why it's such a powerful weapon. Nelson Mandela said that. Forgiveness liberates the soul. It removes fear. That is why it is such a powerful weapon. Now, I've read about Nelson Mandela's quotes, and I've read his things he said.
I think he was a believer, but he couldn't say that because, you know, you had this religion of his people was not Christianity, you know, but he was such a forgiving guy. He was so merciful. You know that when Nelson Mandela came to his office as president, the first day he showed up at the office, most of the white people had left because they thought they were going to be fired or hung. But the ones that were there, he brought everybody into his office because there was strife. Black people and white people, there was strife. And he said to his assistants, his fellow assistants, he said, "We need them. We can't run this government without them." That's what he said. "We need them. We need." So he says, he called them into his office and they had a big meeting. He says, "If you are here and if your heart is good, if you have a good intentions, please stay. Even if you're in the previous government, even if you persecuted my people, please stay and be part of the government, because we need you. In fact, they actually didn't have enough security, since the black people weren't allowed to become special ops, black ops, you know, special forces. And those were the best trained security people that the white South Africans were. They brought in several, like a half dozen or more, white South African former special ops guys to be his help, to be part of his security team. Do you know that there was tension between them and the black team? The guys, his black security team and his white security team, they didn't like each other. He liked them all. He didn't care. He said, "I need you. I need you to protect me. If you'll guard me, my life, work for me." And they did. I'm sure he had many attacks on his life, but they worked for him. Some of them. I'm sure some of them left. You know, he brought back people into the government who worked in the previous apartheid regime. And this guy was amazing. His ability to forgive is amazing. You know, and I recommend you watch this movie about Mandela with, who was that guy's name from, you know, older, the guy in the movie was in prison. What was it? Black fellow that was in prison. It's a famous movie. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not Denzel Washington. There's another, and it's not Samuel Jackson. There's an older gentleman. Morgan Freeman. Thank you very much. Morgan Freeman plays Nelson Mandela. Look up the movie. Get a hold of it. Rent it. Watch it. It's very worthwhile. But anyway, we've learned about Aliyah for years, but with the exception of those, and part of why I'm talking about forgiveness is you have to be like Mandela. Moses was like Mandela, and we're going to see that in a moment. I'm going to show you. We have learned about Aliyah, which is the return of the Jewish people from the nations. For years, we've been learning I've been teaching for over 20 years, and others are teaching. I'm not alone. There's others teaching it, that the Jews, and the Bible teaches it, that the Jewish people and many Christians will return from, I just quoted it in Jeremiah 16:14, that no longer will we talk about the exodus from Egypt, but we'll be talking about the exodus from the north and the west and from all the countries where God scattered his people. The second exodus. And so we've been learning about the Exodus, and I've been teaching you about it, with the exception of those of you who pray with me. I don't want you to say anything. Those of you who pray with me, because we pray every night, except for one night a week. We pray six nights a week. And I don't pray every night, but when I do pray several, and Don prays, and others pray, you know, with mostly it's Carolyn and Carol who pray almost every night together. And others join them, and sometimes I join them. So, with the exception of those who pray with me, I want to ask you a question. Who can tell me how to pray for Aliyah? For those who haven't prayed with me, yeah. Who hasn't prayed with me, who can tell me how to pray for Aliyah. Anybody? If we're following the patterns of Moses, if Moses, 1 Corinthians 10 was a scripture last week in the New Testament scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, let's read it. I'm going to answer that question. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 for a minute and let's read what it says. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. That means they died. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble. Is my mic still on? Okay. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happen. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now these things happen to them as an example, and they were written for you and me, for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Okay, let's stop there for a second. So, Paul is telling us all the bad things they did. He's telling us they were idolaters. He's telling us they craved evil things. He's telling us they were grumblers. We don't have any grumblers in here, do we? Nobody grumbles here, right? Nobody's grumbling. None of you people watching online, no grumblers out there, right? Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you are, you need to repent. Okay, because that's it says, nor grumble, verse 10, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Don't be destroyed. Stop grumbling. God hates grumblers. Now, verse 11, now these things, and I say that to myself because I've been known to grumble too. Now, the penalty for grumbling isn't death anymore, but God doesn't like it anyway. Verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Well, if these are the things we shouldn't do, what should we do? What's the opposite of the things that we shouldn't do? Well, those are the things that we should do. So we shouldn't grumble. We shouldn't crave evil things. We shouldn't be idolaters. We shouldn't be fornicators. We shouldn't act immorally, it says in verse 8. We shouldn't rebel against leadership. We shouldn't try the Lord, verse 9, and be destroyed by serpents. We shouldn't be grumblers. We should speak, Bible says, believe the best. Speak life, doesn't it? It says, believe the best. Speak life. Choose life. Speak life. It's hard to do. Easy to say, hard to do. Hard to speak life over people that are really irritating and annoy you and do stupid things, you know? It's hard to speak life over that kind of stuff and people that, you know, that are rebellious, grumblers, backstabbers. You know, I've often said no good deed goes unpunished. If you've ever been a rabbi or a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been a leader, leaders are very well versed in knowing that no good deed goes unpunished. You do kind things for people for years. I'm not talking about you or anybody, it's just in general. You know, you do kind things for people for years, and sometimes they just stab you in the back. One person I was kind to, and you know, I allowed that person to become a member of the congregation because I transferred their membership from another Messianic synagogue. We were very close friends, and that person just one day tore up their membership card. We had a beautiful certificate of membership that we had made that person, and that person tore up the membership thing. No, we had no fight, no nothing. It just came in the mail. No phone call, nothing. Just tore up the thing and said, see ya. That's what we got for being kind. We didn't do anything. They just didn't like, we didn't, you know what the problem was? We weren't the same as that person's previous synagogue. We didn't do the prayers the right way. We weren't, you know, look, every church, every synagogue you go to is going to be different. Yeah. Everyone's different. Yeah. No two are alike. We're like snowflakes. Amen? We just don't need a safe space. Hopefully this is a safe space. Praise God. The opposite of acting immorally is acting morally, is acting righteously, is acting with faith, is the opposite of fear. Why do we have fences around the Capitol and thousands of soldiers? Because they're terrified of you. They're terrified of the people. Why? Fear. You know, they don't have... And that's what's causing believers, people, Americans, millions... Tens of millions of Americans are really uncomfortable. It's like they've all gotten a hemorrhoid. You know? I mean, seriously, it's like a spiritual hemorrhoid. You know? Tens of millions of Americans are really uncomfortable. Right? They're distressed. Because the government is changing everything on us. You know? Laws are changing. Hundreds of laws and executive orders and all things that Donald Trump did being overturned and all these new things. And even today, 2 weeks ago, they were either the Supreme Court or the Congress. Probably I think it was the Supreme Court passed a law or something, chipping away at your Fourth Amendment rights. Your Fourth Amendment rights is. You know when you ever watch one Adam 12, you know, and they would arrest you. Remember back then in the late 60s, early 70s, when McCoy and what were those two guys' names? No, it was Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. No, I can't remember who the police officers. It was Harry Morgan was Colonel Potter was one of the cops, and the other guy I can't remember his name. Real tough cop. And they would arrest people, and they would read them their rights. They were police officers. And they would say, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. In other words, you don't have to say anything. Nowadays, they try to get you to talk without an attorney. They try to trick you into speaking. These are the police. That do that. They've tried to do it to me one time. Or misdemeanor. Leaving the scene of an accident that I didn't commit. I was rammed by a pickup truck at high speed in a road rage incident. And I left the scene because I didn't want the guy to kill me. It was nighttime. And he drove into my van really hard with his big pickup truck. And thank God he was going so fast that he didn't hit my driver's side. He hit the fender. He smashed the front fender. And I said, you know what? It's worth it to me to pay for the new fender than not to have a fight with this guy in the dark on a Pennsylvania road. Because this guy was angry. But you know what he did? He followed me, got my license plate tag, called in to the police and said that I hit him. And they put a warrant out for me. And I didn't do anything. Except leave the scene stupidly. I should have called the police. But I didn't know. I was just, it was a fight or flight. It was a fear. I was fight or flight. And so, you know, I went to the police station to turn my, you know, when there was a warrant for me, I went to the police station to, you know, let them know that, hey, I'm sorry. I left, you know. And they booked me. They brought me in. They shackled me to a chair, my feet, my ankles. What did I do? It was a civil thing. It was a fender bender. It was a fender bender. This guy hits me with his truck. My wife's a witness. My kids are witnesses. And I left the scene because I was scared for my family, for our safety. I left the scene. Praise the Lord. And these guys, instead of reading me my rights, you know what they said to me? They were trying to get me to confess and say things that I supposedly did wrong. Now, there's good police, and I have friends who are police. I have a lot of friends who are good police officers. There's bad ones, you know. They're not all police officers are your friends. I'll tell you that much. How many of you know that? One time I got pulled over in college. I was driving home from Vermont. It's a big, long highway in the wilderness, long stretches, 70 miles without a gas station. And I'm driving in the wilderness of Vermont on a federal highway, and there's nothing there but mountains, bears, deer, and coyotes and wolves, and a state trooper and me. And he pulled me over for going 70 in a 65. And he made me sit there for 45 minutes before he even dealt with me. I had to sit there for 45 minutes. And then he came up to me. He gave me a ticket. And then he said to me, if you leave this spot, if I see you on the road in an hour, within an hour, if you stay here for an hour, if I don't want to see you, he said, if I see you on the road in an hour, I'm going to arrest you. I was the only car on the road. I mean, you know, what did I do? I sat there for an hour, you know. I looked guilty. I tell you, I am the most compliant person when I get pulled over. I don't give police a hard time. And I didn't give him a hard time. This guy had a chip on his shoulder, you know. You're at the mercy, man. And that's what we got today, folks. We got Pharaoh. You're the children of Israel, and Pharaoh is in power. Pharaoh is in power, and God is sending Moseses, not just in one Moses, but God is sending Moseses around the world to tell the people, and this is how to pray. Remember the original question? How do you pray for Aliyah? You go to Pharaoh and you say, let my people go. Let my people go. And you go to the Israel, you pray to the Israel, you know, to God for the Israeli authorities, and you say, let my people come. Amen. Let my people come to Israel. And you say to whoever, to Pharaoh and to the enemy, you know, just like Moses prayed, you know, he said to Pharaoh, but we don't see Pharaoh. We speak to the devil. We don't war against flesh and blood. We war against powers and principalities of darkness in high places. So we say, Satan, let my people go. That's how you pray for Aliyah, amen? Let my people go. Pray like Moses did. So it says here, here's one verse, here's one, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Verse 7. Okay. Now let's go back to Exodus 32. Go back to Exodus 32. Okay, so in Exodus 32, Moses was up on the mountain. And verse 1, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron, said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. By the way, you can do that if you want to bring me your gold. I'll fashion it into something for you. Seriously. No, I'm just kidding. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it and made a proclamation, said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Where do we just see that verse? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play at the burnt at the golden calf, feast of the golden calf." Amen? Now let's see what Mo did. What Moses came down the mountain. Now Moses is coming down the mountain, heard the noise. Joshua heard the noise. And God was pretty angry. Listen to this. God was angry. Let's listen to what Moses did. This is another, we're talking about how to pray for Aliyah. Verse 7 of chapter 32 in Exodus. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are obstinate and people. Now let me alone then, that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation, Moses." God's speaking. And Moses, just like Nelson Mandela, that's why I quoted Mandela. Just like Mandela, this is what Moses said. Moses entreated the Lord, verse 11, his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all of this land which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people." Moses changed God's mind. That's why I read Nelson Mandela's quote on forgiveness to you. I'll read it again. From Mandela said, "Forgiveness liberates the soul. It removes fear. That is why it is such a powerful weapon." Mandela also talks about mercy. If you look up his quotes on forgiveness, he talks about showing mercy. Mandela was like Moses. He really was. And the effect he had on South Africa was amazing. Unfortunately, it didn't last. And now white people are being murdered and killed, tortured, and brutally, I mean brutally, cut in pieces. I mean, they are being... There is a genocide going on in South Africa right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if one was coming to this country too. I would not be surprised because we're not seeing that mercy. We're not seeing this extraordinary mercy of Moses, of Martin Luther King, of Nelson Mandela. We're not seeing that kind. We're seeing people being called scumbags, white people, being called Nazis, racists, if people supported Donald Trump, they're being called racist, white supremacist, Nazis, deplorable, smelly Walmart shoppers. I've been to that Walmart where the guy from the FBI went to, and yes, the people did smell, but some of them were Democrats. That's the problem with these people up north, is that when they come down here and they see people in flannel shirts and blue jeans and boots driving pickup trucks, you know, with the little scraggly beard, you know, the little, it's like they call it the southern beard. It's the redneck beard. It's the little scraggly beard that you see that the young people wear, and the baseball hats, you know, and it's like saying, "I'm a redneck and I listen to..." Yeah, it's kind of like yours and mine. Yeah, but the kids, the only difference is, though, on the kids, though, it's not gray and white like ours. You know, on you and me, it's sexy. But on the kids, it says, you know, my son walked in last night and he had a Bass Pro Shop hat on. And he had a little scraggly little beard. And he tells me he's listening to country music. And I said to my wife, I said, he's becoming a redneck. My city slicker son, who people who know Supreme know what the brand Supreme is. He dragged us when he took him to New York City two years ago. He took us to the Supreme store. We had to wait for an hour outside in line just to get into the Supreme store. In fact, I don't even think we could get in. So we went to some other fancy store that my son was into, you know. You know about Supreme, right? Is there Xavier? You know what I'm talking about? Xavier knows what I'm talking about. He's hip. What's the word? Hips is he? That's not even the right word, is it? What would that be? What would the word be? Cool. What would a young person say?
Dope.
My son was dope. Okay. Now my son's a redneck. He's a dope redneck. He's a dopey redneck. Yeah. But you know, I've learned something about people down here. They may look like Trump supporters, but they're Democrats. They're just country or mountain or hillbilly or whatever you want to call them. They're not all, not everybody here is a Trump supporter. Amen? I have neighbors who are Biden supporters, you know, and they're as country as you get. You know, they're simple people, you know. They're not city slickers. I grew up in the city. You know, enough about that. So what's the point? The point is, and I'm just, you know, just telling you about my son, because we all like to brag on our kids, right? But anyway, I my son impresses.
You're lovingly bragging.
I'm lovingly bragging on my son. I've watched him go from city slicker to... but anyway, the whole point I was talking about is that our Pharaoh and his entourage today is judging people on the color of their skin. Mandela didn't do that. Our Pharaoh today and his government is judging people. So we need to get a black woman on the Supreme Court. We need a black woman. I noticed when he gave a speech the other night, he had a white security guard and a black security guard, you know? Everything is appearances. We need a minority. We need a Hispanic. We need a black person. We need a female black vice president. You know, was she qualified to be vice president? Probably not. You know, she couldn't even, I don't think she got 10 votes when she ran for president. You know, she got knocked out of the primaries. But then he put her on the ticket. Harris, he put her on the ticket to be vice president. She could be president of the United States, but you know, any day now. You know, I was watching a thing on TV last night about Khrushchev when he was 5 years younger. He gave a speech. He didn't know where he was. Khrushchev didn't know he was not Khrushchev. Who was the before Gorbachev? Brezhnev, Leonid Brezhnev, one of the last Soviet rulers, you know, before Gorbachev. There was it was just before Gorbachev, wasn't he? Brezhnev. And Brezhnev was actually 5 years younger than Biden or so, and he didn't know where he was. He was out of it. And they're trying to tell him how to read the teleprompter, and he didn't know where he was. He didn't have a clue. Yeah. You saw that. You know, I mean, he was just out of it. And you know, nobody knows where Pharaoh's been for the last year. Pharaoh hasn't been hanging out at the mall. Pharaoh's telling you, you know, maybe by July 4th you can have a picnic. Well, I hope he has a nice one. Because his fellow Democrat governors are having picnics all the time. They're taking trips to tropical islands on jets, not wearing masks, going to fancy restaurants,
doing everything they tell you not to do, they're doing it. But you better not do it. In fact, Dave, you better get a better mask than that. I'm going to come in next week. I saw a picture of a guy wearing about 10 of those blue masks. He had one on his head, one on his forehead, one over his eyes, one over his nose, one over his mouth, one over his chin. Then he had a pair of glasses on. So we're talking about how do we pray. Well, we must understand God's pattern for Aliyah. The pattern. In order to understand Aliyah, which is, okay, so you have to accept the fact. You have to accept the premise, which Rabbi Burt said a couple weeks ago, that we are in the times of 2 Thessalonians 2, when strong delusion has taken over Pharaoh and his people. Strong delusion has overtaken Pharaoh. Amen? Strong delusion has taken, many Christians have fallen under strong delusion. How many of you know that? How many of you have come across many believers and messianic believers who have fallen under strong delusion and don't know, they've lost sight of the truth. They voted for abortion. They voted for the party that's taking your tax money and paying for partial birth abortions. Yeah. Now, that was one of the first things done. Mm-hmm. This is what God said. God said, see to it, this is what he said to Moses, Exodus 25:40. See to it that you make everything, he's talking about the tabernacle, according to the pattern I have shown you on the mountain. Acts 7:44 says, I'll read it to you. Acts 7:44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. God told Moses, this is in the New Testament, to make it according to the pattern. Hebrews, another one, chapter 8, verse 5. Book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 5. I'll read that one to you. Here it is. And I start in verse 4. Now, if he were here on earth, he would not be a priest. That's Jesus at all, Yeshua. Since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. God does things according, he builds his kingdom and his temples according to the pattern. He said to King David, then David gave his son, it reports in Chronicles, let me read this to you. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans, or the pattern, for the portico of the temple, its buildings, storehouses, upper rooms, inner rooms, and the room for the mercy seat. 1 Chronicles 28:11. In other words, David was telling Solomon, when you build the temple, build it according to the pattern that God gave me. So God gives us a pattern that we need to follow, friends. So we've got a Pharaoh now, strong delusion, just like in Egypt. Amen? Did they let the people go? When Moses said, let my people go, what did God do? Let's go back to Exodus 32. When God wanted to destroy the people, Moses entreated God and prayed. Amen? Do you know what Moses did when Pharaoh came to Moses and said, pray for me? Turn to Exodus 12, Exodus 5, chapter 5. And I have very little left. I'm almost done.
chapter 5. And afterwards Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. Here's the pattern. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors. And then Pharaoh made the people go get straw to make the brick, and the people got angry. But then this is what happened. Then a plague came, and this is what happened. Let's look in chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it goes on, and then let's see what God does. God says in verse 8, I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. You're in bondage, people, and you don't even know it. You are in bondage, and most of us, not just you in the room, most of you don't even know that you're in bondage. Do you know that the $1.9 trillion package that just went through yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. Was it signed yesterday? Yeah. That's going to add probably $10,000 or $15,000 in debt to your children and your grandchildren to the $70,000 or $80,000 that they already owe just by being born as a U.S. citizen. You owe the government. We all owe the government like $80,000 each. Used to be $60,000. Because we spent $5 or $7 trillion in the last year, it's almost doubled. Maybe we're up to $100,000 or $120,000. I don't know. But that's how much we owe the government. A lot of money. Okay? More than many of us make in 2 years. Okay? So, or 3 years, you know. You're in bondage. God wants to free you. So there was a plague. So let's look at the plague. So Moses, then the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 7, verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn, so he refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he's going out to the water and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile, and you shall take in your hand the staff that is turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. I will strike the water that which is the Nile with the staff in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty drinking water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, and he did it, and Pharaoh, the fish died, and the Nile became foul, and the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same with their secret art, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as he said. Then Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and no concern for this. Then frogs came over the land, in chapter 8, frogs came all swarmed over the land, and they came into the bedrooms and the beds of the people and their houses and their servants and in the ovens and into the kneading bowls, it says. So the frogs will come upon your people. And get this. So then Pharaoh called for Moses, finally, in verse 8 of chapter 8. Entreat the Lord. Listen. Pharaoh said to Moses, pray to the Lord. Seek the Lord your God. Entreat him. Pray. that he may remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice the Lord. And Moses prayed for Pharaoh, and Moses prayed that God would take away the plague. This is the pattern. God showed me last summer, if Donald Trump would have gotten on his face, I tried to reach him. I have people that know the president. I know people that know the president, you know, or at least know people that know the president. I don't know the president or the former president. I didn't know him, but I know people that knew him. I know some people that knew him, and I know some people that knew him. So I reached out to as many people as I could and said, if you can get to the president, tell him to get on his face like Moses and Aaron and pray to God to forgive his enemies, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and so forth, and all those people who hate his guts, Whoopi Goldberg and what's her name on The View and all these people and Robert De Niro and Johnny Depp and all the people who curse him and Madonna and so forth, who speak terrible things about the president and the people on, you know, CNN and so forth, and forgive them and ask God to take away the plague. I wonder what would have happened. I tried with all my might, and I got through to a man from a billionaire family. You know what he said to me? He said, Joe, I used to know those people. I used to know the Bushes. I used to know leaders of the, you know, senators and vice presidents. I've been to presidential prayer breakfasts, and I probably knew presidents. He didn't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure he's met a president or two. And you know what he said to me? I'm 68 years old, and I used to know people, but I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm getting older, and I just don't bother with that. I don't waste my time with it. My brother does. He said, well, did you call my brother? I said, yeah, I called him, and I messaged him, and he didn't respond to me, and I emailed him, and he didn't respond to me. He said, write me a letter, and I'll send it to him myself. So I wrote a letter saying what I just said to you. Tell the president to get on his face in the Oval Office and pray. Tell the president to get on his face with Mike Pence and ask the Lord to forgive his enemies and take the plague. And I think we would have seen a very different outcome if he'd have done that. I don't think it happened. Okay, let's finish up. All right, so you see, God does things according to the pattern. He doesn't make things up out of thin air. And the problem with many believers today and preachers is that they make things up out of thin air. And what did the sons of Issachar know? They understood the times and they knew what to do. Everybody say that. They understood the times and they knew what to do. We all understand the times, right? We're in the end time. Bert Yellen told us we're in the time of Thessalonians 2 when the man of lawlessness is about to be revealed and strong delusion has come upon the people. Strong delusion out there? People are whacked. They're whacked. I mean, there's crazy stuff going on out there. You know, I'm thinking what Eddie Murphy would call it, you know, but I'm not going to say it. You know, Eddie Murphy said something interesting, though, recently. He said, I never experienced racism in all my years in Hollywood and doing comedy. I never experienced racism. Pretty powerful statement from Eddie Murphy. By the way, I was in Beverly Hills years ago. I was driving up to a red light, and a Bentley drove up to the other. It was a four-way intersection, and a convertible Bentley drove up, or a Rolls Royce, I'm going to tell the difference, drove up to the other light to the right of me and stopped there. It was Eddie Murphy and some beautiful gal next to him in the Bentley or Rolls Royce, and I just saw him for a minute or two. Saw Telly Savalas back in 1980, 79 or 80. I was visiting my family out in L.A., and I was driving on the freeway. Telly Savalas was driving a Mercedes sports car, and he had broken down or gotten a flat tire. He was on the side of the road standing next to his car. Kojak. And I saw him standing there. One time I was passing out gospel tracts in Soho in New York City, and I saw this little Nebuchadnezzar Jewish guy. Nebuchadnezzar means, like, you know, Danny DeVito type character, you know, just kind of short, short, homely, kind of, you know what I'm saying? You know, nothing to look upon. But I was looking at this guy saying, how do I know this guy? I mean, I've met him before. It was Woody Allen and his 16-year-old Korean girlfriend. Soon Yi was her name. Soon Yi. And she was 16. Or maybe she was 17 by then. Anyway, he walked up to me. I was passing out gospel tracts. I had a Jews for Jesus t-shirt on. And he stopped right there in Soho on the street corner. And he looked at me with his Woody Allen look. He read my shirt. And then he looked up at me because I'm a lot taller than him. And he gave me the once over. And then he walked away. He wouldn't take my tract. But somebody else, my boss in New York, had given him a gospel tract in a barbershop. So Woody Allen, God was on Woody's tail. Lord save him. Get a hold of Woody. Get Woody's tail. You know, many people think that Jesus was an Adonis, you know, that he was like a Greek god. But the Bible says he was homely. Isaiah 53 said he had no appearance that we should look at him. You know, it says that. He had no appearance or that we should be drawn to him. In other words, he was not somebody you would recognize and say, well, that's the Messiah. He was Nebuchadnezzar. He was like Woody. I think he probably looked like Woody Allen, personally. Maybe a combination of Woody Allen and Danny DeVito. You know? I'm serious. You know? Saul was tall, big, tall, strong, mighty Jew, you know? David was handsome. He was ruddy and handsome, you know? I'm a very tall Jew. Hope I'm not related to Saul. I'm distantly related. I am. I'm a very tall Jew. I've been around Jews. I'm a very tall one. And I'm Jewish. I ate my Wheaties. I'm not going to go there with Bruce Jenner. Used to be on the cover of the Wheaties boxes. But we won't go there. I'm just not going to go there. Anyway, let's move on. Okay, let's finish this up. So, pattern. God has a pattern. How do we pray for the Exodus? Satan, let my people go. God, part the sea. Part the sea for us. Make a way for us. And first of all, here's what you got to do. What did Moses do? He prayed. He went up on the mountain. He spent time with God in prayer. What have we been doing since January? Praying nightly. Every night we're having prayer on the phone, some of us. Six nights a week. We're praying and praying. God gave me this revelation just last week, and Carolyn were on the phone, and they heard me say it. I think Dawn might have been on the phone. I started praying like Moses. That was a revelation, to pray like Moses. Let my people go. Pray what Mo prayed. That's what God says in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, these things have happened to you. Moses is your example because the end time, you are the people who the end times have come upon, and Moses and those and the Israelites are your example for you upon whom the ends of the age have come. Well, if Moses is our example, then we need to follow the pattern of Moses. And we need to ask Satan, not Joe Biden, but we need to implore, tell Satan, Satan, let my people go. Take authority. We have authority to say it. We need to pray it. We need to speak to the powers of Israel, the powers of darkness controlling the nation of Israel that want to keep us out. Let my people come. God, part the sea for us. Let my people enter the land. Remember, when Joshua entered the land, he had to kill the Amalekites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Well, we don't have to kill those people. Spiritually, we have to fight the battle to get in the land. You see, to take the land, there's a battle. A spiritual battle of prayer. Not physically killing anybody, but praying our way into the land. Amen. We have to kill the spiritually pray against the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Philistines, the Canaanites. These are all the Canaanites. All these tribes were the tribes of the Canaanite peoples. Instead of killing them with the sword, we got to kill them with the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. We can't just walk into the land. That's not the way it's going to happen. That's what we're praying every night. We are not going to stop Pharaoh. Moses didn't pray, Pharaoh, be a nice guy. Pharaoh, play nice. He said, Pharaoh, let my people go. But he didn't say, Pharaoh, can we get more pizza? Pharaoh, can we get bigger disability checks, Social Security, SSI checks? And Pharaoh, we need better health insurance. And Pharaoh, he didn't ask that stuff. He just said, let us out of this God-forsaken place. Because this is not your home. If you think it is, and by the way, what happened to them in the wilderness? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 10? I've got two scriptures and then we're done. What do they do in the wilderness? They fell. 1 Corinthians 10. It says, I'll read it to you. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. There's a verse about the wilderness. Oh, here it is, verse 5. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. That word wilderness in Hebrew means the desert. They were laid low in the desert. Where are people planning to go, most people, when they know the trouble's coming? Where are they planning to go around here in the country? Everybody's bugging out and going off the grid. What do you call the place they're all planning to go? The wilderness? Isn't that where people are planning to go? And you know what's going to happen to the people who aren't like the sons of Issachar? Who... they know the times, but they don't know. The sons of Issachar, they knew what to do. But most Americans, they know the times, but they have no clue what to do. And they have no idea who the Moseses are. And their shepherds or false shepherds are not tuned in. Not all shepherds are false shepherds, but there are many false shepherds or shepherds who really aren't feeding their sheep and aren't telling them this kind of stuff, that they need to be telling them what to do because they don't know.
This is so true.
Who knows what to do?
The Jew.
The Jew. Salvation is of the Jews. Amen. Who reads the Torah? Who studies the Torah? The Jew. God sent messianic rabbis to help be the missing link in Christianity, to help Christians be delivered.
Amen. Amen.
To save Christians in this hour.
Yes.
So that they would know the times, which they do. We all know the times. The church knows the times. Going to the wilderness, you know what that's going to produce? What did the children of Israel do in the wilderness? They died. They fell. You know what's going to happen to believers, many Christians and Messianics, but mostly multitudes of Christians. They're going to die in the wilderness. They're going to die. They're going to be martyred. Turn to Matthew. Here's my last scripture, and then I'll close. Matthew 24. Here's another prayer for you. Perilous times, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, that's when you see the Antichrist set himself up in the temple as God, kind of like Antiochus at Hanukkah. You know, when you see that happen again in Israel, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand that those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Lord, let not our flight be on Shabbat or in the winter. We pray in Yeshua's name. Lord, we pray, let not our flight be on a Shabbat, on a Sabbath. Oh, by the way, this is the New Testament. And God says, Jesus says, pray, you and me, upon, this is in the future he's talking about when he comes back, that there's Sabbaths. And he's not talking about Christian Sabbaths. He's talking about Jewish Sabbaths. But Christians teach that the Sabbath was done away with, or that it was turned to Sunday. But Leviticus 23 tells us exactly what the Sabbaths are. It tells us exactly what Sabbaths are. Just read Leviticus 23. It gives you every Sabbath in the Bible as it laid out in Leviticus 23. For those who think the Sabbath was done away with, your Savior, who you're going to have to stand in front of him, kneel in front of him and the Father, and explain why you didn't believe there was a Sabbath, or that it was done away with, or that it was changed to Sunday. You don't even know, many of you don't even know, God bless you, that there's more than one Sabbath. Many of you don't know, watching, some of you may not know in this room, that when a high holiday comes like Passover, there's two Sabbaths. There's the Sabbath of the holiday and the Sabbath of the week. So if the Sabbath, if Jesus, if Yeshua was crucified on a Wednesday night or Thursday night, that would have been a Sabbath. Friday night would have been the second Sabbath. So the high Sabbath is the first night of the holiday is the high Sabbath. And then the weekly Sabbath is the Friday night. Okay? So how do you get him in the tomb 3 days and three nights? You crucify him on Thursday afternoon. Remember, the evening begins at night. It was evening and it was morning the first night. It was evening and it was morning the second day. It was evening and it was morning the third day. Okay? So the day begins at night. So he was crucified on a Thursday afternoon. He was buried Thursday night, which is actually the beginning of Friday. Then Friday night comes. So that's one night. So he's buried Thursday night, which is actually, that's one night. And it's actually the beginning of Friday. And then he's in the tomb all day Friday. That's one day. One night, one day. And then he's in the tomb Friday night. That's two nights. And then he's in the tomb Saturday day. That's 2 days. Then he's in the tomb Saturday night, that's 3 days, that's three nights. And then sometime early Sunday morning, the ladies went to the empty tomb, right? And the angels were there and he was gone. The tomb was empty. Sometime early on the morrow after the Sabbath on Sunday, he got up in the morning and left. 3 days and three nights. Good Friday ain't so good. It's just Shabbat. That's how you get 3 days and three nights. He wasn't crucified on Good Friday. You can't get 3 days and three nights in the tomb. You can't get that from Friday night to Sunday. It doesn't work. Sunday morning. You've been lied to. False teaching. And the Sabbath still exists. Matthew 24. He said to you, Christians, Messianic Jews, people in the end times, his disciples said, Lord, what will it be like at the time of your return? And he answered them and said, pray that your flight will not be on a Sabbath or in the winter, or such terrible tribulation will come that no one would survive. Lord, we pray, don't let our flight be on a Sabbath or in the winter, in Yeshua's name. Okay. I've taught you some ways to pray. You can study Moses and you can figure out other ways to pray. Maybe you can teach me some. I have taught you that God operates by the pattern. Not just you. Some of you know that. I've taught patterns. God always operates by patterns. He follows everything. The Passover of Moses in Exodus 12 was a pattern. This is my conclusion. Was a pattern of the Passover of Yeshua. In other words, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of Moses, was slaughtered and the blood was put on the doorposts as a pattern of the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world, whose blood was put on the posts of a cross. A wooden cross. The blood of Moses' lamb was put on the doorposts, first on the two posts, then on the lintel on the top. Where was the blood of Yeshua? On the two posts. And his crown of thorns, he was bleeding on the top. And it all spilled down onto the floor. It's a pattern. You follow the patterns of God. And you follow and you understand the things of the Jews, and that Sabbath is still today. Even at the coming of the Lord, there's Sabbath. As I said to you last week or the week before, I said in Hebrews, it says, Hebrews 4, it says, therefore there still remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. I asked you then, I said, when you stand before God or you kneel before God, would you rather say to him, God, I didn't keep your Sabbath because I didn't believe Christians needed to do it, so I didn't do it because I didn't think it really meant the weekly Sabbath? Or would you rather say, God, I kept the Sabbath because your word said to keep it? Which would you rather do, say, and give an interpretation that's false? And try to explain your way out of that one to God? Or just keep the Sabbath? We invite all sincere believers, Jewish or non-Jewish, to come celebrate the Sabbath. Read Exodus 31. I gave a teaching on the Sabbath a week or two ago. You can see it on video on my website. It was last week. Go to my website last week. I gave a teaching on the Sabbath. The Bible says we are to celebrate the Sabbath. Read Exodus 31. I gave a teaching on it. It's all about the marriage. Okay. And forgive and be merciful, because that's the way of God. We've got to be forgiving and merciful even to the people who are being brutal to us. And only fight when you're cornered and you have no other choice. Only fight when you have no other option. But don't be a sheep like my ancestors were, who were led off to the Holocaust and slaughtered. Don't go silently like lambs. Yeshua is the lamb. He was the silent lamb. And don't think that it can't happen, Don says. Don't think that another Holocaust can't happen. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put me. Do you want to say something, Don? Don, I can always sense when the boss wants to speak.
Praise the Lord. I just want to, amen. This awesome and anointed message from the rabbi today. Amen. And speaking of patterns, I just wanted to just add, he talked about the pattern in the wilderness, or in Exodus, he talked about the pattern. It was followed in Nehemiah's day. There's the Exodus of Moses, then there's the and the return to the land that happened during Nehemiah's age. And it also happened, and then Yeshua came, and he fulfilled more of the pattern. Then we also have the pattern of the end times. It was walked out in Hanukkah, in the time of the Maccabees, and we're going to experience the same pattern occurring again in the end times. And as Rabbi taught very specifically and eloquently, that, you know, Rabbi Paul taught on this and exhorted us to look to Exodus for our guide, and to the Moseses that God will raise up. But we have to stop thinking that we're going to get rescued out of this miraculously without having a plan, without not knowing what to do. And so,
understanding the times and knowing what to do.
Exactly. Understanding the times and knowing what to do. And, you know, we can kind of laugh about it. You know, the apocalypse is coming and blah, 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 and we're prepping and all this. But let me tell you, this is God is getting serious with us. And if you want to ignore it, if you want to laugh it off, if you want to think that things are going to be just fine, then, you know, just take a look at what's happening in Washington today and think, are you going to change any of that? Well, probably we can pray against a lot of it, but God's plan is for us to go to Israel. Amen. Okay, and that's his perfect plan. It may not be our perfect plan, but that's his pattern. So it would be easier for us just to get on board with what he's doing than try to fight City Hall and repair everything. As Rabbi said, Pharaoh's not in the business. It's not our job to change his plan. It's just our job to pray that that we get on board with God's plan and that we are able to go.
I agree. And today they're voting on. My police officer neighbor friend said to me they're voting in Congress today about changing the Second Amendment, about the requirement, about what they're changing, trying to change today is make a requirement for background checks. I don't know exactly what that means, a requirement for background checks for who or whether what it means, but I know they're trying to mess with the Second Amendment. Last week or 2 weeks ago is the Fourth Amendment. They've been messing with the First Amendment for years now. They've been trying to shut us up, you know. And by all means, pray for liberty. I don't want to stop you from praying for liberty. Pray that for the sanctity of the Constitution. Yeah. And pray that the state you live in obeys the Constitution and the law of the land, not the law of man. Right. Pray that your state follows the Constitution of our founding fathers. Amen. And not the law of man to change the Constitution. Follow the Constitution and pray for the Constitution. And it, you know, as I always said, follow your leaders as they follow God. Yes. Amen. but don't follow them off a cliff. And people who understand the times, like the sons of Issachar, they know the times, like we all do, but not everybody knows what to do. The ones who just go running off to bug out in the wilderness, many of them will be martyred if they don't have a plan, if they don't know what to do. Many will be martyred. Millions will be martyred. Don't think they can't find you with AI and heat-seeking equipment and stuff like that. Don't think there's any place that you can hide. Some people will, but not everybody. All right, did I bless you? And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panaveilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, our Prince of Peace. Amen. And who is the mystery guest that I said was coming? The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. That was the mystery guest. Shabbat Shalom.
Rabbi, are we going out to eat?
Anybody? Yeah, sure. Anybody wants to go out to eat? Wendell's going to lead us. To the Mad Greek.
The Mad Greek. And one more last announcement, guys, before we leave. I want to talk to everyone who normally does the Torah service. So I want to have a meeting about that. And then next week, I plan to be here next week, and we're going to have a Passover meeting. So we'll have Oneg, a Passover meeting. And I want to talk to those who are doing the Torah service for a few minutes. We can do that at lunch. Okay, Shabbat Shalom.
On your walls, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem,